You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
You know, we're talking about this before. It must be nice to work with Netflix because they seem to be like, hey, you worked with us. You were even mildly successful. Let's let you do anything. And I mean, Millie Bobby Brown is kind of the perfect reference point for that. You know, young actress starts off on a TV show on Netflix, and now she's producing a show that Arthur Conan Doyle probably wouldn't really care about, but evidently his estate does.
There wasn't enough heroin for that.
Arthur Conan Doyle's been dead long enough that, you know, I don't know if progressivism was anything he even knew existed. So, you know what you're going to do. But we are talking about Enola Holmes, the newest film, I think still newest as we're recording this, on Netflix, starring, as I said, Millie Bobby Brown, and amongst others. But I am Ben. With me is Harmony.
Hello.
Doggett.
Detective Doggett.
And Neil.
Hello.
And yeah, this one I was very excited for when we first saw just even the listing on our sign-up sheet for what we want to review, because I'm a huge Sherlock Holmes fan to begin with. But how about you guys? What brought you to it?
Henry Cavill. Just period. Henry Cavill. I was like, oh, okay. He's in a suit. Even better. Yay.
Well, that Edwardian suit. I think yeah. It's Edwardian.
I just like Sherlock Holmes, but I don't like reading Sherlock Holmes books. So I just go with whatever else I can get.
Gotcha. So you're a mystery.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, this is based off of the mystery, Enola Holmes mysteries, The Case of the Missing Marquis. There's a series of these Enola Holmes stories, as well as, I believe, a French comic that our good friend Maciek, she brought to my attention a while ago. So Maciek, if you're listening, appreciate that. I need to read more of that.
So was that series the first one to say Sherlock Holmes had a sister? Was it Sherlock? Like, is this like, how original was the idea? Not that I'm complaining, just curious.
Yeah, that I'm not quite sure, actually. I was trying to skim for that, but admittedly, I didn't pick up on it. The Holmes family has always been played up whenever it gets ventured into as being very mercurial, to say the least. Quite an interesting group of people. I don't know if their father is ever really brought up much at all.
He appears in Sherlock.
Oh, that is true.
Well, either way, I welcome the character into the Sherlock lexicon. Who gives a shit? There wasn't Mycroft like part of like a dumb movie?
Mycroft wasn't around in the original stories because they needed something to ground Sherlock to actual British culture at some point and also be against. But yeah, he was never a big part until basically later stories really fleshed him out a lot more. This story basically, as I said, follows that original introduction to Enola's mysteries series, where their mother has left her. In the original series, I believe she was 14. Here she's supposed to be 16. And Mycroft and Sherlock come to basically say, all right, well, we need to get you to society because we've basically never known you since you were like 3. And she decides, no, I need to find my mother. I need to strike out on my own. And kind of becomes embroiled in a larger murder mystery plot while trying to find out about her mother, who, you know, unsurprisingly, is a very progressive person who is taking action for progressivism in some ways that both are shocking to her, but not shocking if you actually know history.
Yeah. The only appropriate way to fight the hierarchy.
Destroy the patriarchy.
Yes, absolutely. I'm down with it.
Yeah, fuck Mycroft.
In particular.
I mean, yeah, they really do a number on Mycroft being the most prick that he can be.
He's the villain.
Not the actual murderers.
But no, just Mycroft.
He seems to be more of a villain to me than the murderers.
It's true, because he seems more like with a direct path than the murderers. And I think that's more by choice, because the murder mystery isn't the main plot of this movie. It's Enola finding her way, and Mycroft is her actual antagonist here.
How happy were you guys when those two separated after the train?
Wait, which one are we talking about?
Like at the beginning of the movie.
When she separated from the Viscount?
Yeah, where she's like, okay, well, fuck off. I'm gonna do this. You're gonna slow me down.
That was pretty good. Yeah, it was a good turn. And I want to say that I believe this movie passes the Bechdel test too.
Because every conversation between two women is not at all about men unless it's overthrowing the patriarchy.
Exactly. Yes. So I was very excited to see that. That was a cool turn for me.
I will say Sam Claflin is who plays Mycroft. Not as familiar with. I'm trying to recall what else I know him from. And if you see a picture of him when he's not dressed as Mycroft, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, you look nothing like Edwardian prick.
He looked British.
Well, yeah, that's fair. I mean, he's in the Hunger Games. He's in Snow and the Huntsman and Pirates of the Caribbean. I couldn't place him if I tried. But, I mean, he makes for a good antagonist here. He definitely brings up that patriarchy side. But I will also say, as we brought up Tewksbury or the Viscount, that's played by Lewis Partridge, who, honestly, that's a character that they want to kind of play up in the trailers as kind of being more stuck in the ways. But I really actually liked the direction they went with that character throughout this movie.
Yeah, it was a very cool turn from being what you would expect from a Viscount or, you know, whatever his long-ass title is. That he was very into botany and very into progressive for the time thinking. So I thought that was really cool too.
Yeah, it's nice that he had a story of running away as well, and that, you know, when the characters actually reconnect, it's not, you know, it doesn't feel contrived for the plot. It feels very much defining for both characters when they connect. And that's not also that common in a young adult type of story.
Well, he's this movie's PETA. Except not as strong.
I was going to say, it's really dismissive of him. Because yeah. PETA is
that's not. PETA's an important character in the books and the movies. He's just, you know. PETA.
Yeah. I don't know about that. But I may have to disagree with that because I feel like his storyline helps move the action along. But if it was all just about her finding herself, then that would have been just as well.
I agree. I feel like including him works because she did need a mystery to force her into it. And they don't labor a romance plot. I mean, there's hints of it, of course, because, I mean, one, it works for a movie. Two, they're 16 years old. It's just going to happen. I'm sorry.
It's always true love when you're 16. You know.
Yeah, but they didn't force that to where it's the thing that happens between them. It's like, no, they do care about each other. And honestly, the way it ties up in the end, like with that last scene, is kind of the perfect way for them to handle it too. Mm-hmm. You know, the movie is saying sometimes you do have to fight, sometimes you do need to make progress the standard way, and sometimes you can win both ways.
Oh, I agree. I think it's also she's driven. She doesn't think he can help himself, and she feels like she can't help. She puts the mother mystery on the side because she's like, I can actually help him. He's in a situation where he's locked in, but he wants out like I want out, but I can help him.
Well, what's really enjoyable about the movie is that Enola Holmes, for the most part, is the driving force of the movie. It's a lot of her making her own choices and like doing her own thing.
And honestly, I do love her moments with Henry Cavill as Sherlock. One, Henry Cavill, you know, you already joked about it, Harvey, that's why you picked this movie, but I've grown to really love Henry Cavill, as he's basically said, I'm going to just do all the nerdy things that I've ever wanted to do in my life.
Yes. Ascended nerd.
He's a handsome guy, but he also just, he is so charismatic and seems to just love getting into this role. He's so good at Sherlock Holmes, where he does have that disconnect, but he also has some wonderful reaction moments and really does get heart to heart with Enola, where it's clear, it's like, both of you don't fully connect with this world, but you do both understand puzzles and about how she is kind of the humanization of what Sherlock Holmes is, as she basically realizes, no, I'm the person who knows mysteries and cares about people and things. Sherlock Holmes is the person who just cares about mysteries, and I'm better than that.
Henry Cavill has a good look for it. He's got like those cold, dead eyes like a shark.
I absolutely disagree, but that's okay.
It's like you're empty inside. That's why you're filling yourself with mysteries.
Well, I think they do a good job of, we have a baseline for Sherlock of being a genius.
Right.
And it gives Enola more credit because he figures out what she figures out just always behind her.
Right.
So it's slowly giving her more and more points as this budding genius.
Well, she's doing more legwork.
Oh, yeah. She's lapped him once or twice, but he's catching up. So we're like, oh, we know all his credentials and she's ahead of that.
That being said, when they show him discovering the mystery, it's like, oh, you may have took longer, but you took fewer steps.
Right.
Yeah. He was never at the house. He never talked to anyone. She was hitting the ground running on it. And I find that always very charming in this.
And that's a good word for the movie. It is quite charming. I enjoyed it a whole lot and was, like I said, it passed the Bechdel test. I think Henry Cavill's dreamy and I could just watch him in anything, you know, but I don't think he's like the big name. I mean, other than Millie Bobby Brown is like the big name in the movie. But I don't ever feel like he threw his weight around or anything like that. Like he's not the main character. He's just the big name. And I appreciated that.
What about the mom?
Helena Bonham Carter is amazing in everything she does. And, you know, good for her for stepping out.
Her three scenes are terrific in this movie.
Yes.
I really love her when she's not in a Tim Burton movie.
Exactly. Well, they broke up. So that's kind of part of it.
I mean, overall, this movie does sell in its star power. As I kind of joked a bit about in the beginning, Millie Bobby Brown did produce this. But I'd also like to believe Henry Cavill probably didn't just sign on because Netflix asked. I kind of feel like maybe he does like these stories as well, because mm-hmm. that's how he got into Witcher. He loves those games and the stories. And, you know, he loves comic books. That's why he's in Superman. So I have to imagine he had some joy in this. And I could be misremembering, but I appreciate his interpretation of Sherlock, because the estate of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle still owns the rights, or somebody or sold the rights to Sherlock Holmes, where he actually does have emotion in some sense of other things. And that's why almost every story has him be kind of a complete sociopath who doesn't deal with people. So basically, I hear, at least my father was hinting at this, that this movie might be, they're trying to sue them, but they'll probably skirt the line saying it's based off this book, which you can't say is owned by those rights.
I'll accept it.
Yeah, but it's nice for the 20s. So what is it? So he's like, he doesn't hit children and he doesn't hit women, but he still does morphine. Like that's
yes,
like
the exactly.
What else are you going to do? I mean, come on.
Well, women and children. There was zero violin playing. And I was disappointed in that.
That is very true. For anybody who, you know, is a fan of Doctor Who, or I guess more specifically, what was the spinoff show? Torchwood? There is Bern Gorman in this, in very small role, but I love seeing Bern Gorman kind of be, you know, a menacing figure. He does have a face for it, and, you know, he can do other roles, but it was nice to see him in something else like this, because it's been a bit for me.
He usually plays very, like, kind of heady characters that I've seen him in, very smart, the smart British guy. And to see him be a kind of a thug is amazing.
He's not a very intimidating guy, but when he's after children, it's like, oh, well, I guess you could fuck them up.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, again, and in Edwardian England, he's pretty still a menacing guy in, like, that time period. And lastly, I do want to say there was some hints at diversity here. Some that, you know, if you're going to be really anal about, you know, historical accuracy, no, I don't think a man who I believe is of Indian descent, Adil Akhtar, would be, you know, Lestrade. I don't think he would be a top detective because of racism in England, but I appreciated him as an actor in this movie doing a Lestrade that wasn't the complete bumbling Lestrade, but also wasn't, you know, some super cop like they could have played him as.
Well, that's the good true. Thing about doing a story on fiction.
Okay, so, I'm not going to disagree that, you know, Lestrade was probably not of Indian descent, but, you know, there's been people of color in England for as long as there's been England, because it's a colony, you know, it was an empire, right? So there you go.
Exactly. I'm not saying I have any problem with it. I'm only mentioning because some idiot on the internet is going to watch this movie and bitch about it. Saying,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, it couldn't have been a brown person. They were in England, but they weren't important enough because people are anal assholes that are racist.
They are.
How different is Lestrade through adaptations? I feel like anytime I see him, he's always different.
He varies.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot. There, yeah.
Guy Ritchie's, he's competent, but he's always behind Holmes.
Right.
Other versions, you wonder how he got that position at all, yeah, because he doesn't know even common facts.
He's almost
or
a
has
comedic
basic
character.
Deduction.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one step above Clouseau in his ineptitude. But this version was like, he felt threatening, but in a intellectual way. He was the authority, the real authority figure against Enola.
Right.
The family kind of was, the two families, the Viscount's family and her own family. Mm-hmm. But Lestrade's like truly the establishment.
Right.
And he's like, well, I'm not going to muck things up with your brothers, so I'm against you. That's how I kind of saw him. He was competent, but he was more of a threat.
This was definitely, I would say, a Lestrade closer to the TV series Sherlock.
Yeah.
But more like the later seasons, because the early seasons, they still play him a tiny bit bumbling. He gets more competent in the later seasons. Definitely not near to the Basil Rathbone generation of Sherlock, where even they made Watson bumbling because they didn't know what to do with him.
Right, but, right.
But yeah, overall on that, I really did enjoy this. But Neil, do you want to go this into your final thoughts?
I enjoyed it quite a bit. There were a couple of drawbacks for me, though. Her talking to the audience was jarring at times, which if you look at who directed this, he also worked on Fleabag, which that is the crux of Fleabag, of she's the main character's relationship with the audience, the fourth wall. And in here, one particular line where she turns and says, "Do you have any ideas?" That was really disruptive, but not that it ruins it. It doesn't even start to ruin it. It's just... it's for me, it was taking you out of these little moments.
Oh, you were upset because you didn't have any ideas. You had nothing to offer the poor girl.
I didn't have any ideas. I'm completely oblivious to 1800s London, so I was clueless. And I kind of wish we'd got a little bit more with the mom. It's established her mom is the center of her universe and her mom's a genius. And then her mom leaves her on her birthday. And that's why that's the genesis of her character as we see it. But then it seemed a little easy that she put that on pause. But I really enjoyed it. I would recommend it to anybody. I went into this with, as a fan of the Sherlock Holmes universe, a fan of Millie Bobby Brown. And, you know, I did not see 1 ounce of Eleven. This was a completely new character. She wasn't channeling. You know, when someone gets discovered or breaks out and they do that role for a bit, you kind of see that version or template in the rest of their other things. I did not see Eleven from Stranger Things at all in her. She completely stepped out of that role and created a new role. And that was very impressive in itself, too. She's got chops. We didn't really get to see her do this with Godzilla because so much was going on and so many characters were going on. But this is her and her talents. I would give it 8 to 8.25 chrysanthemums out of 10.
Fair enough. Harmony, how about you?
Like I said, I found this movie very charming. I actually liked the fourth wall breaking. It kept it entertaining. And for it was like when it first started out, she was talking to the audience and no, you know, there was never like a moment of anybody saying, "Who are you talking to?" or anything like that. So it was just obviously she's just talking to us and, you know, we are a part of the story. And I, like I said, I was completely charmed by that. I think Millie Bobby Brown has a really great future ahead of her, you know, as a producer, as an actress. This was an enjoyable, you know, forget how long it was, hour and a half or so. Hour and a half, hour and 45, something like that. Movie. Like, I was drawn to the story. I had a great time. I got to see Henry Cavill. All in all, I was really happy. You know, like, it was a good time for me. We were watching it as part of my husband's birthday, and it was a really, you know, great time to sit and watch movies. And yeah, it was a good time. I think Helena Bonham Carter, yeah, I would love to see more of her, but the amount that we saw of her was just enough to make us want to see her more. So hopefully if there's additional movies in this vein or in, you know, of the series, she'll show up more, but she's not the star Millie was. And so I'm going to give her complete props for that. So that being said, I'm going to give it an 8.7 out of 10 Henry Cavill smiles.
He doesn't smile at all in this movie.
I know.
Just to jump in.
Smirk. He smirked.
It's over 2 hours. But it doesn't feel like it.
Is it over 2 hours? It felt short.
123 minutes.
Oh, shit. Never mind. Yeah. Okay. 2 hours. Whatever.
No, but that's to your point. It keeps moving and you don't feel like.
So nice and quick.
Oh, where are we at? Well,
So, Doggett, how about you? What do you think?
Man, I don't want to sound demeaning or anything, but this movie is fucking adorable. This movie made almost being drowned in a barrel adorable.
It did.
I'm so glad they finally gave her something to show off that she can actually act. Like, that's like such a good opportunity. And this was a good role for her. And I hope she takes this to the bank. I hope there's like 7 more of these movies. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the entire cast is strong. And Henry Cavill, I don't know why you're going back to DC. I feel like Netflix is taking way better care of you.
Yep.
But I digress. I think this is a fun movie. I think there's a movie the whole family can watch together. And I think the whole family should watch it together. So I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 bowler hats.
Yeah, this movie just, it charmed me from the beginning. It was something I wanted to see. We all signed up for this, I believe, before the first trailer. Mm-hmm. And then right when the trailer dropped, I just saw people all over Facebook going, "Oh, this looks great. I can't wait to watch this. Well, why didn't we know about this?" And I'm like, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
We waited like a month and a half after that sign up to watch this. I was chomping at the bit for, because I am a massive Sherlock Holmes fan. It's one of my favorite series of books and movies. My dad is a massive Basil Rathbone Sherlock Holmes fan. I love the Sherlock series. So I was like, I just want more more of that universe. And honestly, while I know we're getting more of the Guy Ritchie Sherlock Holmes, I would also kill for some Henry Cavill Sherlock Holmes movies, because he feels like he could do a really great job with that now. I really love
He's still my fluttering heart.
I know I'm talking about Sherlock Holmes instead of this movie, because I feel like we've all kind of gushed over this throughout this review. I don't have too much more to say, because I think it really is a good time. I didn't mind the fourth wall breaking, because they set that tone early and they made it feel natural. So when they called back to it, it kind of worked. I'll agree, the "do you have any ideas" was a little corny, because it felt a little bit off, but that was the most it ever felt off for me. And that's one time towards the end of the movie. You know, I can give a movie a pass for that, especially when I've enjoyed it so far through. I really appreciate that they made Tewksbury not, you know, insipid or annoying, because his character could have been such just the poncy rich kid, you know, annoying tag along as somehow she falls for a stupid story that all of these young adult movies will always go for. It's my biggest issue with PETA is he's really not useful.
No.
At least the first few movies, like, "I'm camouflaged." It's like, why? "Oh, I know how to make cakes. I'm camouflaged."
Okay.
Sorry. That just PETA still annoys me. But no, overall, I'm going to recommend this movie to anyone, especially if you have, like, you know, teens or tweens that are bored, stuck in the house right now during COVID. This is going to be great for them. And it'll be something that the family can watch, that you're not going to have to, like, worry about something uncomfortable or, you know, too violent for your kids. I mean, you know, don't get like an 8-year-old to watch this necessarily. It does get a bit violent, but yeah, this is what Millie Bobby Brown needed. She isn't, yeah, just that sci-fi actress that, you know, can do the odd roles that need somebody to go broad on or something. Mm-hmm. I really love this. I'm going to give it 8.5 out of 10, really convenient whalebone.
Zones.
I can't wait till they introduce the Moriarty in this film series. So whenever Nola Holmes does that stupid narration thing, they'd be like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
It's going to be upside down Moriarty. That's her.
Oh, yeah, it's actually a Demogorgon.